Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Along with us, and I hope that you guys are pleased to be with us as much as we are pleased to be with you. It is the U.S. Nationals Grand National NHRA Championship, the granddaddy of them all, out at the Lucas Oil Raceway. We had hoped to have our show out there this year like we did last year, but just everything did not come together, but we are just right down the road from Lucas Oil Raceway in Brownsburg, Indiana, which is just west in the west suburbs of Indianapolis. So as you know, Indianapolis is the motor racing mecca of the world, and this is our final climax of racing here in Indianapolis. And welcome, NHRA fans, and we hope that you have a great Labor Day weekend. It is Labor Day weekend, 3 days. Let's give it up. My name's Tom Marquis, 917-889-8516. Write that down. Those are digits to get to me here in the Balance Radio Studios and talk about sports for the next 2 hours, because that's what I do here. I am your fearless leader, and for the next 2 hours, I will guide you through a very, very complicated maze. But don't fear. You will have a better understanding of all sports by the time the end of the 2 hours end up. Guys, it's college football kickoff today. The real stuff has already begun. And those of you that saw IU put a shellacking on Indiana State, let's talk a little bit about that. We're kind of hoping that we'll have Jimmy the intern on with us to talk about that game. But I know he's got a lot going on as well. Our social media platform, Facebook, the place where minions can go and just unleash. And we want you to be a fan over there at the Balance Minion fan page on Facebook. Just search The Balance. You can find it. It's real easy. And follow us on Twitter, T-Balance, also our sister company, IndyProSports.com. And follow them on Facebook, IndyProSports, and on Twitter, ProIndy. Well, we got a great show planned for you. We're going to talk about some college football. And then at 10 o'clock, Ed Kratz, beat writer, Calkins Media, and the Philadelphia Eagles. We're going to break down the final preseason NFL week, what the teams look like, and what you can look for going into the regular season. That's right. The regular season is just right around the corner for the NFL. We'll talk a little bit about the Colts. I think Sparky, super Colts fan, going to be joining us as well. And at 10:30, our final segment of the day, Fantasy Football Huddle, myself and Jared Calhoun. We break down all of the strategies of fantasy football. And as you know, tonight at 7:30 is the Balance Radio Draft. We always have a great time with that. Michelle, our social media director and producer, has already put the word out, put everybody out on notice. Do not draft Eli Manning because she's got that covered. It's going to be a fun, fun draft, and we look forward to playing some fantasy football with all of our fantasy football owners. Well, guys, I tell you what, I'm really excited to have today's show going. We're going to be right back right after this. We're going to be talking some NHRA. We're going to talk about IndyCar. IndyCar out there in Baltimore. We're going to talk about the race last week. Going to throw in a little NASCAR and a little rumors going on. We're going to get right into to it. So I'm going to tell you what, we're revving up. Gentlemen, start your engines. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Prestigious event in drag racing. I'm Jackie, and this is NHRA Now. The Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals, well known as the Big Go, is the biggest, most historic event in drag racing. Recently, we caught up with several drivers and asked them what it would mean to raise the Wally at this marquee event.
The fact that Chevrolet is sponsoring the U.S. Nationals is a big deal, and of course, being a Chevrolet driver and a Camaro driver, we're proud to represent them. So to win the U.S. Nationals, which is something I've never done before, would be a huge deal, a huge moment for me, and it's one of the last things I feel like I need to do in my racing career. So I'm excited to be there racing, and hopefully we can make it happen.
Winning the U.S. Nationals would be awesome. I mean, that's the biggest race of our season, and if you could get your name up there, all the winners across the country and everything that have won that event, it'd be the most amazing win in my career.
Wow, the U.S. Nationals, there's a lot of mixed emotions for me there. Obviously, our biggest race, our Super Bowl, and had mixed success there. The infamous final round where I lost, where the parachute fell out, and I've had a DNQ there before. So it's a lot of mixed emotions about that race, but winning it would really make up for that one in 1995, and I'd really like a shot at doing that.
You know, if I was able to win my first race, if it's not this weekend in Brainerd, what better place to start than the U.S. Nationals? It's the granddaddy of them all. It's been here forever. And everybody says if you're only going to win one race, win that one. Well, I want to win a bunch of races, but boy, it sure would be nice to win that U.S. Nationals.
The Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals is a fun event.
Come a little closer. This weekend at the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals, guess what's happening?
It's the Traxxas Nitro Shootout. Eight funny cars, eight top fuels, all battling it out for $100,000.
Saturday, top fuel. Sunday, funny car. We hope to see you there.
The NHRA Traxxas Nitro Shootout should make the Big Go even more exciting. And talk about exciting, the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals is the last race for drivers to clinch a spot in the Mellow Yellow Countdown to the Championship. Be sure to tune in to ESPN2 Monday, September 2nd at noon Eastern Time to see who gets in and who goes home. And don't forget, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and subscribe to the NHRA YouTube channel. I'm Jackie, and thanks for checking in. We'll see you next time. This week on NHRA Now, it's the Traxxas Nitro Shootout Top Fuel Voting Special. I'm Jackie, and this is NHRA Now.
All right, my minions, welcome back. You know, we are so good. And I tell you what, I cannot begin to tell you how elated I am that we have everything working the way that it's supposed to be working here at the Balance Radio Studios. It is so good to have you on Labor Day weekend. That's right, NHRA out here in Indianapolis. And as we always do, for the first half hour to an hour, we talk about all the racing and all the what's going on in racing and in and around racing. So certainly, if you want to talk some racing right now, would be your opportunity to do that. 917-889-8516. Well, the NHRA, you heard the drivers talk about what it would be, mean to win out there at Lucas Oil Raceway. Let me put this in perspective. It would be like any race car driver with IndyCar winning the Indy 500. That is how big the NHRA. Of course, the NHRA is gearing up for Countdown here at the U.S. Nationals in Indianapolis. Come on out here to Indianapolis. If you're close, get down here. I'll tell you what, it is going to be a real true shootout. A lot of people are like, wow. You know, they go from 0 to 300 miles an hour, whatever it might be, in just milliseconds. And we've had an opportunity to talk with numerous NHRA drivers on this show over a period of time. And it's just amazing to me. You know, it would be cool if they could develop a two-seater like they have in Indy, be able to get in the back of one of those funny cars. Who's first? You go first. I'll watch you guys, because I guarantee you I'd be that guy screaming like a little girl. Well, some NHRA drivers are pulling out their pencils and erasers. Nope, they're going back to school. It is back to school. They're not going back to school. This weekend's Chevrolet Performance U.S. National at Lucas Oil Raceway is considered to be, as I mentioned, the Super Bowl of drag racing. It's also a signal that the start of what we call pressure cooker second season. Those in the top 10 after Monday's scheduled finals will advance to the Countdown Championship in the sixth race playoff in the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. Now, several drivers do remain on the bubble heading in here to Indianapolis this weekend. Only the pro stock standings are set, and 6 out of the 10 do remain open in the pro stock motorcycles. And I really love watching those pro stock motorcycles. I tell you what, you think the MotoGP was something awesome to watch? You need to get out to Lucas Oil Raceway and watch the pro stock motorcycles. Incredible. Also history could be made here. Top fuel driver Tony Schumacher has won the U.S. National 9 times. If he wins again on Monday, he'll break the record he shares with pro stock Bob Glendon. Really history's being made out there. It's going to be a great, great time. In his 17th year, the Countdown, similar to NASCAR's chase for the Sprint Cup and other playoff structures in major sports, really talks, resets the points on the grid, if you will, okay? And that's what we talk about, running for the chase, and we talk about running for the points. It has heightened pressure. And that's why we call it the pressure cooker of the second season, or part of the season. Second part of the season is the pressure cooker, because this is when it really counts. People, drivers drive all season long to get to this point. You know, and it has a lot of heightened pressure on drivers and teams who are chasing big money. The season championship payout for the top fuel and funny car, $500,000 to the top champion for pro stock, $250,000 for the pro stock motorcycle, $75,000 for the total championship fund for the series is $3.4 million. $1 million! Well, here's how the countdown works, guys. The top 10 in each of the four NHRA classes qualify, okay? The leader at the end of the regular season gets a 30-point margin over a second-place driver with a 10-point margin between the driver after that in descending order. So, for example, Funny Cars' Matt Hagen and others are in first place after Indianapolis will start the countdown with just a 110-point margin over the 10th place qualifier. Hagen's 124-point lead over Ron Katz accumulated during the first 17 events and will be gone after this weekend. So, you know, NHRA is here, and we're having a great time with NHRA. And, you know, I tell you what, this year is probably going to be one of the most exciting years as far as NHRA racing goes. And we look at some of the top leaders here, and we look at the top fuel, I should say. Sean Langdon leads, and then Spencer Massey, and we just talked about Tony Schumacher, Doug Coletta, and Kalabeb Alabashi. You know, and really, if that was one name I'm going to butcher, that would be it. Antoine Brown, Clay Milson, and Morgan Lucas round up the top eight in the top fuel. And over in Funny Car, obviously we know that's where Courtney Force races, and she's been making a name for herself outside of the racetrack with the Body magazine. Certainly we've had a lot of conversations with that. Love Courtney Force and the whole Force operation that they got going on out there. Obviously Courtney and John battling in fifth and sixth position. They're in the rankings. Matt Hagen in number one, Ron Capps number two, Johnny Gray, Cruz Paradigm, and again, John Force, Courtney Force, and Faz Jack Beckman. Really had a good time talking with him last year. Over in the pro stock, Mike Edwards, Alan Johnson, Jed Cullen, Vincent Noble, Shane Gray, Jason Lane, I apologize, Greg Anderson, V Gaines, and Erica Anders hyphen Stevens. Had a good time talking with her last year. I like Erica, and she is really, you know, you look at NHRA, we've talked about it here on the show numerous times. You look at NHRA, they're loaded down with female drivers that know how to drive. They are good race car drivers, and they just happen to be women. So, I tell you what, and you know, we took for the first time last year, we took Michelle, our producer and social media director, we took her out there to Lucas Oil and took her up on time. You might have heard it during the interview last week with Scott Smith, and I hope that we would be able to get that back on for you, but we weren't able to do that. But we had a great interview with him, and you can certainly hear that on our archives. But we were talking about, you know, just the how it makes you feel to be out there, and you know. Going up on top of they've got a media center. They can go up on top of the roof and watch the shootouts. The whole building shakes. Their inside shakes. And it just, it's kind of a freaky experience, but you need to experience. I can tell you what, you'll once you go once, you'll always want to go back. Pro Stock Motorcycle, like we said, big margin going on. This is anybody's ball game over there in the Pro Stock Motorcycles. Hector Aaron Jr., Matt Smith, Michael Ray Jr., and Hector Aaron. Okay, so you got the father-son duel again. John Hall in the mix there as well. So there you have it, guys. Pro Stock Motorcycle, Pro Stock, Funny Car, and Top Fuel all battling it out there at the Lucas Oil Raceway. Well, I tell you what, I love talking racing. We could talk racing all day long, and I wish that we had time to put everything in that we could do, but we can't. Well, we got to move on to a different part of racing, IndyCar. Obviously, we talk a little bit about, we'll talk about some IndyCar, what they're going to be in Baltimore this weekend. And I tell you what, that chase is really heating up over there as well. And I tell you what, there's a lot of people in the mix. We'll talk about those drivers, but they're out there in Baltimore. We're going to take a virtual lap and hear from the drivers as we preview Baltimore this year.
Eyes On IndyCar Series presents A Virtual Lap, The Streets of Baltimore. The circuit at Baltimore is a 2-mile street course with no banking throughout the course or any of its 12 turns. Like many other street courses on the circuit today, the track is fast, a little bumpy in places, tight, and narrow. There isn't much room for driver error. The primary straightaway, which passes the start-finish line, is about a half mile long, and cars will reach nearly 180 miles an hour here. Turn 1 is one of the best places to pass on the track. Brake deeper than your competitor, and you stand a chance of getting by on the low side here. Turn 2 is just a gentle correction to the left, but it's imperative to drive the right line and generate speed heading to 3. Turn 3 is a 180-degree hairpin, and it's also a good place to pass by braking and getting to the inside of your competitor. Then it's a short sprint up to Turn 4, a 90-degree left-hander, and another passing opportunity to the inside. The driver must race the right line to exit Turn 4 and take advantage of the straight leading to Turn 5, where the car will reach speeds of over 120 miles an hour. Then the course gets a little tricky, with 3 consecutive turns where the driver will be on the brakes and seek the right line from Turn 5 through 7. Expect to see some cars into the barriers going into 5, and watch for the best drivers to run a good line on the exit from 7. The drivers will pick up speed to more than 120 miles an hour heading to Turn 8, which is a 90-degree right-hander. It's imperative to get a good line on the exit to keep momentum heading toward 9. If the car's carrying the right speed, the driver can flow right into the right-hander at 9 and fly right up the straight. Expect the IndyCar to reach more than 150 miles an hour between Turns 9 and 10. Turns 10 and 11 go together, with a simple correction right and then left, and they lead right into Turn 12, a sharp right-hander and a good opportunity to pass on the inside. Then it's right back to the main straightaway, where the IndyCar will pass the start-finish line again and reach speeds of up to 180 miles an hour. The Streets of Baltimore is a great circuit that will feature passing opportunities, straights, and technical driving skills. All teams and drivers will be tested in every facet of open-wheel racing.
Yeah, Ride High going to Baltimore, and it's a very tough track, so we got a lot of work to do, and I'm trying to get a good setup there, ride the curbs, and it's just so rough and so bumpy, so it's going to be fun. It's going to be great having my brother as a teammate, and you know, his first time in an IndyCar. He's done 30 laps testing at the start of the year, and this is his first race, so looking forward to that.
Baltimore's been very tough, but I like when it's tough because it changed our luck around. Last year, we had a good strategy going and ended up not going. But the track is very interesting because of the very bumpy, and that track is going to be fun. I hope it will be the same way it was here.
Yeah, it's still achievable. You know, it's 39 points, but today, as you said, could have been a big chunk of that. It is what it is, and you can't change it now. We'll just have to race hard and try and beat them fair and square.
Download IndyCar 13 now, only from Verizon.
All right, welcome back to The Balance, my minions. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Hey, it's IndyCar. They're out in Baltimore. Did you guys check out that race out at Sonoma last week? Wow, what a... I tell you what, especially in the pits, did you see what happened out there in the pits? That could have been a very dangerous situation. Obviously, talking about the very, very controversial, probably one of the most controversial races I've seen in IndyCar in a long time. Of course, IndyCar has reacted to that controversial race in Sonoma, California. One of the things that happened out there was a situation, if you will, with Scott Dixon. Will Power. It was the result of Will Power's outside tire changer. Travis Law contributed to last week's pit road accident with Scott Dixon by hanging the tire on his top left hip. Dixon, the race leader, hit the tire and was ruled penalized. So I was right about Scott Dixon there, okay? So he had it backwards there. IndyCar officials have all but admitted to the series teams Friday that the punishment could have gone either way, and that's the point of the new diagonal markings on the outside of the corners of each pit box. Now, you'll notice that in Baltimore's race, that is IndyCar has, again, reacted to that. Now they're going to start defining pit boxes by adding a rule about crew member etiquette. Boundaries have been set for all competitors, drivers who enter the yellow mark zones of others do risk a penalty. And crew members have responsibilities clarified too. For this week, Grand Prix of Baltimore rule is 7.9.17. That says that anyone deemed to have created a hazard or disruption to the event may be penalized. And that's the rule. I'm sorry, 7.9.17. That's the rule number. That's a direct result, again, of willpower. And that was just – that could have been a lot worse than what it ended. What are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts about marking the pit box? I think it's something that should have been done a long, long time ago. And, you know, it just escalated from there. And there was just one issue after another. And, you know, just a lot of drivers really voicing their opinions. A lot of things happened out there. But they're out there in Baltimore this week, and hopefully cooler heads do prevail. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens out there in Baltimore. Very good race. I don't know. Do you like the street court races? Do you not like the street court course races? A lot of people like the ovals. I know that we're here at the Ballots. We're a big fan of the ovals. Obviously, being in the backyard of Indianapolis, Indiana, yes, we love our oval. IndyCar out in Baltimore this weekend with the new pit box markers. So it'd be interesting to see how that pans out. We don't have a lot of time to break down that race just because we're getting close to getting into some college football talk. Because you know what? It's the official college football weekend kickoff. Hoping to hear from Jimmy the intern, but I know he's got a lot going on. One thing I want to talk with you about. Montoya will not be back with Canassi back in coming up in 2014. And that was kind of came down this week. We've learned that Juan Pablo Montoya will not be back for the eighth NASCAR season with Chip Ganassi. Ganassi president Steve LaLuda announced the decision of the team Tuesday. Multiple people were present for the announcement. I don't really know what the reason is. I think there's a lot of it to do that Ganassi does not comment on driver contracts. We really don't know what the reasons are. So we'll see. Obviously, he left Formula One for NASCAR. It's his second stint with Canassi. The team teamed up together to win the 1999 CART Championship, the 2000 Indianapolis 500 before Montoya moved over to Formula One. But results in NASCAR have just been sporadic, and Montoya has just two wins in 239 career starts, and his best finish was eighth in 2009. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out why Juan Pablo Montoya will not be back with Canassi. Will he be back over at IndyCar again? Will he be in another NASCAR, or will he be going back to Formula One, or will he just playing, call it quits? And that might be a possibility. What do you think? We'd like to hear. Certainly, you can post your comments on the official Minion Balance fan page on Facebook. And, you know, comments about anything that we say during the show, good, bad, different, and ugly. I got big shoulders. I can take it. So, guys, we got to take a break. We get back, we're going to jump more into college football. It is college football time. To talk college football Saturday. We got to take a break, guys. It's been great talking racing with you here on the Balance Radio Network. It's Labor Day weekend. It's the U.S. Nationals. It does not get any better than that. Get your booties here to Indianapolis, because I'm going to tell you, there are some fast cars. cars out in Brownsburg, Indiana.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Bo do bleep, bo bo geep, bo dwa da do da dwa ma. Hey, that bird? Oh, watch it out. Mm-hmm. Una, two. Look at you. More like.
All right, welcome back, my minions. I tell you what, that was especially for you. Obviously, that was a little bit of soundbite from Despicable Me to the Minions. And, you know, you'll notice a new theme on our fan page, the Minion fan page. And I tell you what, the Despicable Me 2 is the official movie of the balance in all of our Minions. And so, there you have it, guys. And the Minions are there. Check out our fan page, the Minion, the Balance Minion fan page. We'd love to have you. Come be a fan. It's going to be a lot of fun throughout the rest of the year. Well, guys, it's College Football Saturday! Ready, I'm going to tell you what, it is time to get going with some college football talk. We build this up all year long, we get all excited about it. Typically, we have Jimmy the intern and Evan Williams and $2 Bill Josh. $2 Bill Josh is actually on his way to Disney World with his family, so he is not in. Evan is actually tailgating in Cincinnati, and Jimmy is MIA. But we're going to get everybody back together next week. So certainly, if you want to talk some college football, 917-889-8516. Coming up at 10 o'clock, we've got Ed Kratz, Calkins Media and beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. We're going to break down the entire NFL preseason, and we're going to get you ready for the regular season coming up very, very soon. And, yes, we are ready. Well, guys, how about this? How about them Hoosiers? IU? Can we get excited yet about IU football? Can we get excited about IU football? Of course, everybody knows I'm a huge IU guy and love IU. But as we have talked about on this very show before, that we get our hopes built up too soon when it comes to IU football. But hey, we're going to enjoy the win. How about this? I mentioned at the beginning of the show, a shellacking IU did. IU did with against Indiana State. What up, man? I tell you what, that was a game. That was a game that we like to see. If they could keep that up, that momentum up, like that kind of again, yeah. It's just Indiana State, but it's IU. Yeah, IU does just mop the field against Indiana State. Nate Zufeld threw for four touchdown passes, and Tevin Coleman rushed for 169 yards and two touchdowns. And IU's record-breaking. Don't you like to say that when you're talking IU? I know it's just Indiana State, but hey, we'll take that 75-35 victory all day long over Indiana State. One of my colleagues, big Indiana State guy, was just really tooting his horn Thursday afternoon at the office, talking about how great Indiana State is. Indiana State. I think if there's one football squad worse than IU is Indiana State. But hey, all you guys like me that doesn't play football and is looking for a place to go play football, you could probably go out down to Terre Haute, Indiana, there and get a walk on. All right, I'll give. I know we have a lot of Sycamore fans out there, so we'll go easy on you. Hoosiers score 45 points in the first half, their highest total since the school started keeping records back in 1949 and broke the Memorial Stadium record of 69 points scored by Nebraska in 1978. They could have broken the school's all-time scoring record, which is 76, if they've not taken a knee four times inside the Indiana State 20 in the closing minutes. I'll give it some credit to Indiana State. They did put a run in the second half. It kind of looked like they might be able to put something together. And there for a moment, I was like, well, maybe we need to look at this because we may have squandered away a win. But that's wasn't the case. IU obviously made it look very easy, needing only 3 minutes 57 seconds to score 6 first half touchdowns. Ted Bolger caught 2 touchdown passes to extend his school record for tight ends, and Shane Wine added 3 more scores on receptions, 43 and 3 yards and 58 yard punt return. Well, college football is here. This is College Football Saturday. Purdue also in action. And as you know, big, I'll tell you what, big tailgate party out of Indianapolis yesterday down on the Circle. Had a big Purdue football tailgate party. So I got me some ribs. I'll admit it. I ate me a ton of some ribs. I couldn't even eat them all. Had to give them away to a colleague. So, man, if there's one thing that just will just one of my weaknesses, my Achilles heel, if you will, and that's some good ribs. Got me a rib tip dinner. Rib tips. Anything with ribs, I'm all about. Anything with ribs, I am all about. Well, let's talk some college football. Purdue Boilermakers, obviously, getting ready to get things going. And of course, I can get my computer to go. Well, let's talk about some of the keys to Purdue's football having a successful season under Darrell Hazel. And, you know, some of those things, I think, as we look at those options, is I think Purdue really has to identify, if you will, their offense. I think that's something that last year really was never clear who Purdue was. Was it a running team? Was it a team that relied on the pass? What kind of offense was Purdue running last year? Was it just a bunch of whatever jailbreak screens? You know, and the quarterback issue out there, rotating quarterbacks, that certainly didn't help anything. And we talked with Evan in the last week about Rob Henry and how he intends to direct the offense. So, you know, Rob has been around the Purdue squad for a while, certainly has had a lot of promise, but due to injury, he has not been able to put things together. So, I, you know, certainly the offense would have to be one thing that Purdue has to do this year to really identify themselves. And then let's talk about on the other side of the line. So they really have got some defensive anchors and some good defensive team out there at Purdue. They need to utilize that. And I tell you what, early success really depends on the defense. And you know what? Offense might win ball games, but defenses win championships, and that's an old saying, but it's true. It's absolutely true. Also, Purdue's got to control those turnovers. I think that's the key to any season, regardless of what team it is. You always have to control the turnovers. But limiting mistakes and winning the turnover margin has really been what Coach Hazel's preached since day one. And he had success at Kent State. If you think about that, keeping mistakes to a minimum and capitalizing his opponent's miscues, if you will, you got to control the turnovers. And I think that's something Purdue is going to have to do again. That goes back to creating turnovers from the defense as well. And I just think that they need to have a lot of more team camaraderie over there at Purdue to have a good, very disappointing year last year for Purdue. Certainly they're hoping to make a bounce back, as well as IU, Ball State, and other Indiana schools, and we'll get to those. We talk a lot about Indiana, and we want to thank all of our fans over at Indiana Talks who are all over the state of Indiana, and it's not just politics, it's sports, and we're certainly a part of the Indiana Talks family. You can hear us every Saturday on Indiana Talks from 3 to 5, www.indianatalks.com. So we do talk a lot about Indiana football, but we'll get into a lot of that. But we're going to talk a little bit more about Purdue, because they're down there in Cincinnati. That's where Evan Williams is. He's down there doing some tailgating. They take on the Bearcats. Cincinnati Bearcats, I'll tell you what, in my opinion, have been one of the nation's most successful programs in recent years. Just look at the coaches who guided the program and where they're at now. You look at D'Antonio, I'm sorry, who's at Michigan State after serving as Cincinnati's head coach from 2004 to 2006. Brian Kelly succeeded D'Antonio and won 34 of 40 games from 2007 through 2009 before being hired by Notre Dame. Butch Jones stepped in for three seasons and winning 19 games last 2 years before moving to Tennessee. So what does that say? Culture. Cincinnati Bearcats have a culture of winning. And when you have a culture of winning, you're able to indoctrinate your students. That's the one time that it's okay to indoctrinate your students. We don't want to get into my political rants. But that they have a culture of winning out there, and I think that's going to play to the benefit of the Cincinnati Bearcats. I'll tell you what, one thing for sure, it counts now. Everything counts now. We are inside the regular season now. Everything counts. Some of the players to watch in today's Purdue Cincinnati Bearcat game, Brandon Kay, don't be surprised to see Tumberville use two quarterbacks. Tumberville hasn't announced whether or not Kay or senior Lugax will take the first snap, but he's leaning toward Kay. The Michigan native started the last five games in 2012, posting a 4-1 record, and guided the Bearcats to a 48-34 victory over Duke in the Belt Bowl, earning MVP honors. Kay completed 63% of his passes last season, compared to 52.2% by Lugax. And I butcher that name too. That's a race car driver name, isn't it? Who was 5-2 as a starter and combined for 17 touchdowns. Well, what's your game of the week? What are you guys looking for when it comes to some college football? What is your college football prediction? What are some of the things you're looking at? What are the games you're looking at? We're going to take a look at some of the big things that are going on over in week one, college game day. That's what's going on. Well, we can't technically use those words because another network and all that owns that time. But it's college football. It's Saturday, and there's games going on today. So you can make your own deductions from there. You want to talk some college football, give me a call, 917-889-8516. Got some open lines. We'd love to talk with you about your team and what you're looking at going into week one of today's games. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the other teams around the NCAA, and you know, try to talk a little bit and touch on as much as we can here in the next 10 minutes or so. Let's try to make some sense of Kansas State's loss to North Dakota State. North Dakota State. Actually, you know, if you remember right, North Dakota State played IU football pretty darn gone good a couple years ago. So, but it's Kansas State. And remember last year what the Jayhawks were able to do? There were people actually even thinking that maybe Kansas State would be a national champion. Fast forward 1 year. Go up against North Dakota. North Dakota State? Well, I'll tell you what, North Dakota State really proved themselves Friday night that they are a really, really, really good team. And so that's probably why Kansas State fell to them. And so what do you think? Is Kansas State all the hype? Jayhawk Nation, we want to know. we got so much games to talk about today, and I'm wanting to know maybe what direction we should go with this. But I think we're going to get Jimmy on the phone now. So I just got a text from him, and I think he's going to call us here in just a moment. So we're gonna hopefully get him on the line here in just a minute. That'd be great to have Jimmy the intern on with us as well. He just popped out of nowhere, just popped in the cloud here, if you will, and that's great. So we can talk a little bit about Arizona. Obviously, we could talk some more about Kansas State, North Dakota. You want to talk more about that game? How about Michigan? How about quarterback struggle in the MSU? We could talk about that if you want. Really, we've got a lot of games going on, and certainly, you know, we want to talk about some of the big games going on today. And so maybe we want to preview a lot of – we got so many games. Alabama, Virginia Tech, Buffalo, Ohio State. Big Ten game there. A lot of people think Ohio State's going to go to the national championship. Joining us now is Mr. Jimmy, the intern. Jimmy, welcome to the balance, sir. So good to have you on board, sir.
Thanks, Tom. Good to be here.
I was wondering if you were alive. I mean, if something happened to you after that big shellacking against Indiana State, if you partied too much.
I won't say any of the above, but there are mitigating circumstances. I'll say that.
I understand. It's completely understandable. Jimmy the intern joining us. We're going to talk a little bit about some IU. Wanted to do that earlier in the show, and in the segment, and we talked about IU. We broke that down. But you know, we get excited to see IU win and break records, have a record breaking win. But there again, on the other side of the coin, it's only Indiana State, but it is a win, and it was a good win. If that was, in fact, Jimmy, a preview of what's to come, especially as we get into Big Ten, I think IU fans have a lot to be excited about.
I agree, Tom, and I'll keep it short because I know you've already covered this. But I'll tell you this, that if IU beating Indiana State isn't something to be as excited about, it was the same case last year. Last year, IU played the same team with a couple extra players for Indiana State, but only won 24-17. ISU had a chance to tie it late in the game. This contest was never really in doubt. ISU did put up 35 points, only 14 allowed by the first team defense, and only 7 of those before the game was decided, far out of reach. Indiana put the gas on, and after a couple early offensive sputters, really did not look back. They had 45 by halftime. They finished with 73. And that was without trying to put any real points on the board in the fourth quarter. I think IU left no doubt as to how good their offense is. And their defense, I believe, has also come a ways.
Well, and you couldn't have put it better than I could have either. And I just want to just kind of walk you through what we've already walked through here. We talked a little bit about Cincinnati and Purdue and kind of gave a preview of that game going on down there in Cincinnati. Unfortunately, everybody has something else going on today. In fact, Jimmy's down there today tailgating, and I guess he just felt like he was too busy to call in. We'll have to sad sack him next week. But Cincinnati Bearcats, in a lot of ways, we were just talking about this right before you called in. Cincinnati has a culture of winning. And you look at their coaches and what they've been able to do and where their coaches are at now. Obviously, we look at Kelly and we look at some of the other great names that have came out of that organization, and they've really created a culture of winning down there. Purdue has to really, I think, show something to themselves and to their fans, even if beating Cincinnati in the big picture isn't a big thing, whether or not they win or lose. But I think on both aspects of it, Cincinnati is one of the best teams in the nation, probably. So to beat them today would really do a lot to boost the confidence of Purdue, the organization, and the fans.
It won't be an easy game, but I do appreciate what Daryl Hazels had to do there at Purdue, because Danny Hope in his time there was not able to instill anywhere near the kind of culture that the athletic department hoped for when they hired him. Everyone who has come out and talked about Daryl Hazels has spoken in support of him, saying that he's changed at least the way that the players are looking at the program. I don't think that Purdue has the players, though, necessarily, to make the kind of changes that Hazels and everyone else has talked about. Rob Henry, I think, is decent. I think their skill position players are decent. And I think they have a decent to good running back. I do like what Akeem Shavers brings to the table. Akeem Hunt, another former running back there. The two Akeems always have been pretty good for Purdue. But I think they're just lacking in the talent department to a lesser extent than Indiana was when Kevin Wilson got here. But I think we're looking at a similar story, that he's going to spend this year trying to build a foundation and going into next year trying to build the team.
Well, absolutely. And certainly we think that with him making a good decision with the quarterback, with the senior, obviously I think we'll do a lot to help mold this young Purdue team, and hopefully they'll have a better season than they did last year. we look at going talking about some of the other games here that have already happened here. You know, I want to get your thoughts, and I guess this is one of the things that's a buzz around the sports community. Really, North Dakota State and just kind of shocked Kansas State and shocked the nation that North Dakota State was able to go in there. Are we seeing a hole or a flaw with Kansas State to come this year, or are we just reading way too much into this loss by Kansas State?
Well, Kansas State's got a lot of time to get better, and they were the Big 12 champion from last year. They're missing Colin Klein, and that's a big loss. And North Dakota State was the SES champion last year, the best team in that division. So I wouldn't get too worked up over it as a Kansas State fan. It's certainly better than what happened to UConn against Towson earlier the same night that IU was playing Indiana State. It could be worse as a Kansas State fan, but there's still a lot of time left.
Well, absolutely, and I think that we have a tendency to read more into losses. You know, it was only a 24-21 loss, but really, on the other side of it, just a few years ago, we remember North Dakota State and IU. That was a pretty good game. North Dakota State is actually a pretty good team.
Yeah, they're not bad. They have a tradition of success. Like I said, it wasn't expected for them to beat Kansas State, I guess is the word I'm looking for. But I wouldn't have been as surprised if I had known the background of that North Dakota State team. Well, I'm speaking for a lot of the observers of that game who
sure.
were freaking out and burning down the Kansas State football offices, so to speak, especially their fan base. You weren't playing a pushover, guys, so don't feel too bad.
Right, absolutely. Well, I do want to get your thoughts on some of these games going on today. Certainly, talk about some of the Big Ten teams. Ohio State taking on Buffalo. I don't know that we're going to see anything too surprising in that game. You know, certainly, this is the first game for everybody, so we don't really have a record to compare it on other than just last year. And really, I think this is just you know, the appetizer for the Ohio State Buckeyes. They're just kind of getting ready for the big meal. This really isn't a big thing that I think that we're going to see any shockers here at all.
Yeah, for the most part, this weekend, especially in the Big Ten, is just a warm-up weekend. And that's the same way with Buffalo and Ohio State. Now, if Buffalo somehow comes out and Ohio State craps the bed a little bit, you know, then we'll have a different conversation to have next week, won't we? But the fact that Ohio State is as good as they are, and Buffalo, to put it diplomatically, is not. I wouldn't expect to need to talk too much more about this one anyway.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, one good game I think that has a lot of people is, hey, let's watch this game. Georgia and Clemson, always a good game. But I think these guys got some scores to settle. And if you want some good, just good old-fashioned college football on a Saturday night, that Georgia-Clemson game is one to watch.
Indeed. Taj Boyd is going to get his first chance to do some big things in front of a national audience. And Aaron Murray and Mark Richt are leading that Georgia team against them. Dabo Swinney and his Clemson Tigers are looking for a national championship berth this year. That is their expectation. They've mentioned as much because they have one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And they've got a pretty solid receiving corps around them, Sammy Watkins, particularly for Clemson. I like Clemson in this game, but Georgia has a way of mussing these things up and make them a lot more difficult than they need be. So I wouldn't be surprised for this one to come right down to the wire.
Another good game that I think a lot of people are curious to see is with Northwestern, California. Obviously, Northwestern, for the first time in any recent memory, coming into the season ranked, and certainly had a great season, ranked number 22, even ahead of Boise State. And so that's Boise State's 19th, so they're not ranked ahead of Boise State, but still ranked right in there with some of the best teams in NCAA. Tonight, they're out west, Northwestern, California.
Northwestern is actually one of the few Big Ten teams testing themselves early on, and I do enjoy this team a whole lot more than a lot of people from this area would, especially given what they did to IU last year. If you'll remember, they put up 700 yards of offense, and it's a team that really reminds you they're not looking to pull any punches at any point. Kane Coulter and Venrick Mark, I talked about them last week. They're one of my favorite backfield combinations in all the NCAA. You know, Tevin Coleman moved up my list on the Big Ten list, at least, in his performance against ISU last week. But the reason for that is that he reminded me a lot of the way Vendrick Marcus, the whole, he's explosive, he's shifty, and Coulter's a dual threat as well. I think he's going to be very effective this year. That duo is going to win some games to the Wildcats and score a ton of points.
I want to get your thought on one more thing here. And we called him what? Johnny the quarterback whatever his nickname was last year. We look at him do something pretty stupid. And it's stupid from the aspect of Johnny Manziel, Heisman Trophy, just somebody that should have known better. And he basically gets, for all intents and purposes, a joke of a sanction, a half a game. He's not going to be able to play because he took money for some autographs. I'm just curious about your thoughts on this. We put Johnny, the quarterback, Johnny Manziel, on a higher pedestal. There's a reason why he's, you know, in that Heisman Trophy mix. There's a reason why he would be a number one NFL pick. We put them up on a pedestal with a lot of responsibility. I think because we do that as fans, if you're trying to send a message, I just think that maybe it should have been maybe a one or two game suspension, nothing too major, but certainly a half a game, that's almost laughable.
I don't think there's anything almost about it. It is laughable because the way that they approach the suspension, if they really wanted to send a message, they would have suspended him for more games. Honestly, to me, the way that the rules are set up, he should have gotten more of a penalty than he did, if for nothing else but the sake of consistency. That being said, I don't know if I agree with the rule the way it is set up, but I think that there should be an investigation deeper, more intensive by the NCAA to wonder if they're approaching this the right way. But with the rules on the table as they were, it seems like Manziel should have been given more of a suspension, but a lot of that falls on the NCAA, which lacked the burden of proof necessary to dole that out. So I think there are several parties of blame here. Manziel not alone in this. I think the NCAA took some of the brunt of this. Texas A&M deserves some brunt. And then you look at it that way, I think that it's better for all involved to just forget about Johnny Football, who will miss half of a game against Rice and then continue to play. He's going to play this year. I would rather forget about all of this stuff and focus on the season as it goes along, try and handle any new situations that may arise regarding Manziel. And if there's anything that his track record's shown, we might see some of those.
Well, honestly, at the end of the day, I could care less if he took money for autographs. That, to me, is not the end of the world. I just wonder if it had been somebody else other than Johnny Manziel, would they have said, okay, one game or two games? But we don't want Johnny quarterback off the field too long, guys. So let's not let this thing get carried away. Jimmy the intern joining us, breaking down college football Saturday for us. Jimmy, any final thoughts? Where can people find you on Twitter? And I know you're on the air at various different radio stations and various different things you've got going on. You write for various different papers. So where can people find you, your work, and follow you on Twitter and so forth?
Oh, if you want to follow me on Twitter, that's easy. It's at JPCIV, five letters, at JPCIV. If you want to listen to me, you can hear me call a volleyball game today at 11:30 and 7 o'clock on IUVolleyball.com. Got a couple strong games coming this way. IU Volleyball's got some stuff to be excited about. And then finally, if you want to check out some video and written work, it's there on IU Sportcom, chiefly among it. If you can find me other places, well, more power to you.
Jimmy the intern joining us. Jimmy, I tell you what, I know you're cutting your ropes in early broadcast. Just hang in there, buddy. There'll come a time when you won't have to call volleyball games, buddy. All right, man.
I don't know, Thomas. It seems like a pretty good gig right now.
Yeah, there you go, man. All right. The official play-by-play announcer for IU Volleyball, Jimmy the Intern. All right, Jimmy, we're going to talk with you next week. Have yourself a good holiday weekend, buddy. All right, guys, that's going to do it for College Football Saturday right around the corner. Myself, Ed Kratz, going to break down the NFL preseason, get you ready for the NFL. Obviously, Ed Kratz is also the beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. We're going to talk about the Eagles. We're going to talk about the Colts. We're going to talk a lot about the NFL right around the corner, right here on the Valens Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located in 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
See, you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. Bart, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
Welcome back to The Valens. My name is Tom Marcos. We go into our final hour of today's show. My minions, you better get ready because this we're gonna get you ready for the NFL. And then here at the bottom half, we're going to talk some fantasy football during our fantasy football huddle. Well, joining us, good friend of the show, I am beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, Mr. Ed Kratz of Calkins Media. Edward, happy Labor Day to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Tom. Happy Labor Day to you as well. My voice is a little weak today. I saw a very good high school football game last night, and I had my fan and dad hat on, and I was cheering like crazy.
Well,
so
As you should. Yeah. I totally understand. Yeah, you know, dads and football, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. I'm a dad. My son played football, too. He's in the Marines now. But I play football. My nephew plays football. You know, my other nephew, my younger nephew, he's 8 years old. And this is his first year that he's actually playing with pads. So mom's a little nervous, my sister-in-law. But my brother is all about it. And he was sporting the pictures on Facebook and Twitter. Look at my boy in the pads. Look at my boy in the pads. So certainly a rite of passage when the youngins get to put pads on for the first time.
That's right. I told my son when he put pads on the first time to make sure he gets a helmet that fits. Because that's the most important thing is to protect that head. And I remember when I played, I don't think the equipment was near as good. And half the time it seemed like I was looking out my ear hole in my helmet because it was sliding all over my head.
So I was gonna, ask you, was when you played football, was it the old leather helmets there without the face mask? All right, let's get down to business. Obviously, we're going to start with your home team there, Philadelphia Eagles, and got a lot going on as we look at the Philadelphia Eagles in their preseason. Michael Vick won the job. Maybe a lot of people weren't surprised by that. Maybe a lot of people were surprised by that, but certainly he's got the job, and we'll see how he can do. So overall, looking at the preseason and as the training camp is in the books, and you guys look forward to the beginning of 2013, a lot of challenges ahead of you, and certainly some tough decisions for Chip Kelly as he moves forward. So what were your thoughts? Break down the preseason for the Philadelphia Eagles, and what are you looking for going forward?
Well, the preseason was sort of an up-and-down roller coaster ride, I thought. The Eagles finished 2-2 in the preseason, but the defense would look good in some games, and a couple of those games it didn't look so good. In fact, it was almost a series-to-series type of situation with the defense. So I think that's the biggest issue with the Eagles is the defense going forward. They're trying to transition into a 3-4 defense, and they've been a 4-3 for as long as I can remember, and that transition's not going to happen overnight. I'm not sure they have the personnel at this point to really play that type of style defense successfully. So I think you're going to see them running sort of a hybrid between a 4-3 and a 3-4 until such time they can get those pieces in place, which is going to take a year, 2 years before I think that the defense will be ready to roll. Offensively, I think they did pick Mike Vick to be the starting quarterback, and the big question mark around Mike every year is his health and if he's able to stay healthy for 16 games. He hasn't done it since the 2005 season. I believe he's only done it once in his career, actually maybe twice. So keeping him healthy, you have to go into the season thinking, okay, that's not going to happen, so you need to have a good number two in place. And, the Eagles spent a lot of the training camp developing Nick Foles to be that number two quarterback. It was an open competition throughout much of training camp, and Foles played quite well in the training camp. And I think that they will be fine should Vic go down and Foles have to step in. But clearly it's an offense that is tailor-made, this Chip Kelly read option offense. It's almost like a triple option that this read offense presents. And, Mike Vick is clearly the better quarterback to run that because he's a little bit more mobile, obviously. He's a lot more mobile than Nick Foles is, and when he fakes that handoff and gives him the option to run or throw, you have to play him as a running threat. So, we'll see how it goes. I think the Eagles have a lot of good pieces in place on offense, and I think you're going to see a lot of high-scoring games in Eagles games this season.
Well, let's talk about the first game coming up. Obviously, you welcome your beloved friends, the Washington Redskins, and RG3 has got the green light to go. What kind of problems is RG3 going to give your defense coming up on September 9th?
Well, RG3 has the highest QB passer rating against the Eagles of any quarterback that's ever played against them. He's made 2 starts against them and just shredded the Eagles last year. In fact, in a game here in Philadelphia, he had a perfect quarterback rating. I believe he was 14 for 15 for almost 300 yards, and he had a perfect quarterback rating of 158.3. Now, that said, I think, RG3 obviously hasn't played at all during the preseason, and there could be some rust. I expect there to be some rust on RG3's game, but I'm not sure they're going to need 100% RG3 to put points up against the Eagles. The Redskins have a very punishing ground attack with Alfred Morris, and, I expect them to run the ball a lot and just kind of throw the ball, have RG3 kind of manage the game, throw it, again, maybe 15 to 20 times. Because I think this is an Eagle defense that throughout the preseason has given up over 5 yards every time another running back has touched the ball. So this is a defense that can be ran on. It's a good way to control the clock and to keep that Chip Kelly up-tempo, rat-a-tat offense off the field for as long as possible. The game's down in D.C. It's the first Monday night game of the season. I think it's a doubleheader Monday. The Eagles play at 7. And I believe the night game probably is Chargers, Raiders, one of those teams. I don't know who is the later game, but it's usually one of those West Coast teams. But it's exciting. First Monday night game, the wraps come off of Chip Kelly's offense. He's been fairly vanilla during the regular or preseason, rather. He hasn't shown a whole lot. So, you know, it's going to be fun. And I think the nation is going to be very interested to see how Chip Kelly does in his first year in the NFL.
Well, absolutely, and I'm excited to see how he does it. And we were just talking about Chip Kelly over in the college segment about, you know, just where he was. We were talking about the Purdue and Cincinnati game and how Chip came out of that organization. I know he didn't. I'm talking about the guy from Notre Dame. See what happens. See what happens. We start talking, and my mind goes a different direction. So let's just rewind those last 2 minutes, and if we could cut that out. That's live radio
that's
for you, man. Hey, man, I'll tell you what. I think I did that last week, too, or the week before. So it's okay. We move forward. Erase what I was getting ready to ask, because that one, it was just a brain fart. So we move forward.
Okay.
Well, obviously, camp and preseason has broken, and everybody's ready for the regular season. And quite frankly, I was extremely disappointed against the Bengals and the Colts. I thought the Colts just went out there and said, "Screw it, we've all got our jobs. We're ready to go. We're only thinking about Oakland at this point." Yeah, maybe that there's something to be said for that, but there are fans who play who like to watch the team and pay to go watch a preseason game, and it's the final preseason game. Certainly, you're going to get a lot of playing time if you're the starters. You should be using that opportunity and treat it like a regular season game. That's just my opinion of one of many.
Well, I think the preseason, Tom, and I think a lot of people would agree, is it's just entirely too long. Four games is that's a lot of games. I think if the NFL would extend its regular season to 18 games, and then you can shorten the preseason to 2 games, because you're disappointed in that loss. But I imagine if the Colts didn't play anybody, I think they're starters. So really, as a fan, what are you going there to watch? You're going there to watch second and third string guys that could very well be calling you next week to sell you insurance, play a football game. that is not a high entertainment value. And, they charge full ticket for those places, the NFL does. And, I think it's almost criminal that they do that. Whereas I think if you cut it down to 2 preseason games, you play your starters both games, you get ready to roll, you roll up your sleeves, and bam, you're right into the season, 18 games, and then you can start having some fun with 18 games. I'm not sure it'll happen, but it certainly should.
I agree. That's a debate that's been going on for a long time. We'll just put that on there with the lifelong debates that seems to be happening, and we'll put that up there with the BCS bowl debate. A whole other conversation. Well, camp's broke. Everybody's ready for the first season, and obviously the first game Thursday night, September the 5th, the Ravens, the Broncos. No surprises there why those guys were picked for the kickoff game. So certainly I was very impressed with Peyton Manning last year. Hated to see him leave the Colts, and it was very weird to see him in a – it was almost like seeing your girlfriend with another man or something if you have girlfriends, or you know what I mean. It would be like you having your wife see your wife with another man, But it's just one of those things that just takes some getting used to. Broncos, Ravens, we look at these two teams, really, certainly, if you look at predictions and if you look at what's on paper and you look at their talent and you look at their all the facts and figures in the spreadsheet in front of you, these two teams have all the capabilities of moving through the dust and being some powerhouses in the NFL in 2013.
Yeah, well, I think the Broncos suffered a big loss when they lost Von Miller, their pass rushing linebacker, to a suspension. That's really going to hurt the Broncos, I think. And they lost Elvis Dumervil, another one of their pass rushing ends. I think the two of those guys accounted for 30 of their 50 sacks last year. So, you're losing two big pass rushers off that defense. And then offensively with Denver, you lost your starting center. And I know center is obviously a very important job on an NFL team. They're usually the ones that make all the line calls. I know what it did to the Eagles last year when they lost Jason Kelce in the second game. It really hurt them. So, I think there's three big losses on Denver that, could really present a challenge for them. I believe they won 13 games last year. I think they're going to be hard-pressed to do that again this year. I really think they might take a little bit of a step back. I'm not saying they're not going to be very good and they won't make the playoffs, but, you know, I think they're going to come back down to earth a little bit by losing those two big pass rushers and their starting center. From the Baltimore perspective, it's a shame, first of all, that they have to play this game in Denver. Usually the Super Bowl champion opens at home, but the Baltimore Orioles, the baseball team in town, did not want to give up their home game, so they moved the game to Denver. So, you know, right out of the chute, Baltimore, you know, has to go on the road as the defending Super Bowl champ and play a tough Denver team. But you know, Baltimore had its share of losses, too. Obviously, they lost two Hall of Fame-worthy players in Ray Lewis, who retired, and Ed Reed, the safety, who is in Houston and, you know, is having a hard time with his health there. But, you know, he's about ready to retire, too, I would imagine. But, you know, they lost those two guys, and, you know, they still have Joe Flacco when he signed that big contract. He lost the key wide receiver in Anquan Boldin. So, you know, there's some big question marks with both of these teams, who were two of the better teams last year, going into the opener on Thursday night.
Right, absolutely, and I think this is always, you know, it's just, it doesn't matter who's playing. Opening night is a great night to just say football is here. Can I get an amen, brother?
Sunday, amen, brother.
That's right. Sunday, the real deal starts up, and we look at some of the matchups throughout Sunday. Of course, everybody's playing. We look at New England and Buffalo. Anything standing out here? I'm just going to kind of go through these games. We don't really have time to get into a preview of all of them, but just some things maybe you might see on either side of the team from the preseason perspective and moving forward into the regular season. We look at New England, Buffalo. Obviously, New England has picked themselves up a third-string quarterback, or is he a fullback? But certainly Tim Tebow has a job for the moment with the New England Patriots, and certainly Bill Belichick is doing everything he can do to say, move along, nothing's happening here, just move on along here. He's probably on an injury list. So New England, right, Buffalo. Right. New England, Buffalo,
well,
what are your thoughts?
Well, the Patriots, I think, need tight ends. And there's been a debate here in Philadelphia. If the Eagles were to cut Clay Harbor, who's on the bubble, Eagles have to trim 9 more guys from the roster, and Clay Harbor's being mentioned as one of them. The New England Patriots would snap him up in a minute because they need tight end. Tom Brady's targets right now are a bunch of rookies and unproven guys. You know, they don't have Gronkowski. They don't have Hernandez. So, you know, Brady has a tendency to elevate whoever he's throwing the ball to, and I expect him to do that again. But, again, you know, these receivers are young, and the tight ends are very unproven. Buffalo, are they starting who's their quarterback? You know, I know it's not going to be E.J. Manuel. I think it's a guy, Jeff Toole, I think, is his name. You know, what are you getting out of him? I'm not really sure. So, you know, I think New England should win that game.
All right, well, let's look at Seattle and Carolina. Obviously, two teams that are not really very familiar with each other. I think Seattle really has a lot of momentum, and I think we could see a lot of good things from Seattle this year. But I don't know, there's really a lot to get excited about this game. It is the first game. So, but Seattle and Carolina, anything that stands out with you between those two?
Well, I'm excited to see Russell Wilson for Seattle. I want to see if last year, you know, his rookie year, how he does in his second year, if he, you know, continues to progress, or if he has the, you know, sometimes guys have that sophomore slump, so to speak. So I'm anxious to see Russell Wilson and how he does. And, you know, I love the way that Seattle defense plays defense. Now, they lost their defensive coordinator, Gus Bradley, who's the head coach down in Jacksonville now. So, you know, we'll see how that defense comes together. And Carolina has Cam Newton and a pretty potent running game. You know, and I know their head coach, Ron Rivera, is under a little bit of a gun here to have a good season. I don't know if defensively all the parts are there. They have a very good linebacker in Luke Kuechly. But you know, we'll have to see how their season unfolds. But I think it's an interesting matchup. Where is that team? Is that in Carolina?
It is in Carolina, absolutely.
Yeah, that's going to be a good test for Seattle to fly all the way across the country in the first game of the year.
Well, absolutely. And I think there's something to be said about being able to fly across the country and have a good game. So next game up, the Bengals and the Bears. The Bears, you talk about not having a someone you're used to seeing every week. Obviously, the loss of Brian Urlacher. Of course, they can see him on TV now, so they can still see him on TV. But he won't be in a uniform, and that's got to be a little bit of an adjustment for him. The Bears without Urlacher, yes, no, I think they'll survive, but the Bears going into 2013 without Brian Urlacher, they've got to find some other tools.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the Bears' hallmark for the last few years, you know, almost their whole existence has been defense, really. I mean, they're, you know, the monsters of the Midway. So losing Urlacher, losing their head coach, who was a defensive guy, you know, we'll see how that goes. They have a new head coach in place, Mark Trestman, who came down from the Canadian Football League, who is an offensive guy. I mean, you might begin to see a little bit of a transformation with the Chicago Bears into a, you know, a more of an offensive team than a defensive one. But, you know, clearly defense is the way the Bears, you know, made their living all these years. And, you know, I don't expect that to change overnight. So that'll be interesting to see how that team kind of comes along. Cincinnati should be in the playoffs, right? I mean, you know, again, the quarterback, Andy Dalton, should continue to progress. And he's got some weapons with A.J. Green. And we've all seen them on Hard Knocks on HBO, if you get HBO. But, you know, there's a lot of expectation in Cincinnati to make a nice run for a Super Bowl, perhaps.
Well, that would be an interesting twist. I think that's one of those. I'm from Missouri. I'm the Show Me State. Show me before I believe it. But the Bengals have a tendency to have a lot of hype around them, and then tend to get deflated throughout the season. So hopefully that's not the same. But certainly the Bears will give them a challenge. The Bears. All right, Miami and the Browns. You know, we saw, of course, their preseason, but we saw the Browns and the Colts go at it. And really, I didn't see much I was that impressed with by the Browns when they were here in town. And so the Dolphins and the Browns, the Miami Dolphins are going to be a strong team this year, and certainly one of those teams that I think, again, will be well in the postseason there. So we look at the Dolphins and the Dog Pound.
Yeah, wow. I don't know if I'm that big a believer in the Dolphins, to be honest with you. I know they went out and signed a lot of guys in the offseason, but, you know, listen, I saw what that did for the Eagles a couple of years ago when Vince Young came out and said the Eagles are the dream team because they were signing all these guys and, you know, went right in the tank. You know, when you sign guys to big contracts and they don't perform up to those contracts, it can create a lot of jealousy, anger within a locker room. So, you know, I'm not sure they went around about it the right way, and they had a big loss with Dustin Keller. Their tight end is hurt, so they don't have a tight end. And, you know, I want to see how Tannehill plays in his second year. You know, so I'm not really that sold on the Dolphins. You know, I know they come to Indianapolis in week two. But, you know, I just have to see how the Dolphins progress. And the Browns, of course, they're under, you know, new coach, new leadership in the front office. And Brandon Weeden in his second year. We'll see how he develops. So, you know, that's two quarterbacks looking to kind of you know, make statements in their second year. It's an interesting matchup, and it'll be interesting to see how the Dolphins' season progresses. But I'm jury's still out for me on the Dolphins, how good they're going to be.
I agree, and maybe that's just a lot of the hype surrounded the Dolphins. Well, we look over here again at two teams that have a lot of talent, and over the last couple of years, I've been really impressed with the Lions. They have gone, in my opinion, from somebody that we just look forward to watching on Thanksgiving Day. They're going to lose. Let's get our belly full. Let's take a nap. To a real contender in the NFL. And, of course, Adrian Peterson is back.
Yeah, right. Adrian Peterson is back. He proved that last year. the Lions are, you know, listen, there's not a lot of tradition in Detroit as far as winning and getting into the playoffs. So, you know, it's a kind of an organization, in my opinion, I root for to do well. And Detroit's a downtrodden city, so you'd like to see some positive things happen there. You know, what I've read and what I've heard is that defensive tandem of Nick Fairley and Ndamukong Suh are really playing well, and Nick Fairley seems like he really wants to become an NFL player and a good one. We'll see how motivated he remains through 16 games. But offensively, you know, Matt Stafford, again, staying healthy, he's got Calvin Johnson, you know, the best receiver probably in the game, Megatron. So, you know, they have some pieces in place. They need to develop a running game. I think not having one of those hurt them last year. So we'll see how that comes along. So, you know, I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting for Lions just because, you know, they don't have that tradition, and Detroit could certainly use some positive news.
Oh, absolutely. I think, really, they could do a lot for that city, much like what New Orleans Saints were able to do for that city.
I think a lot of, absolutely.
So one more game. I wish we had time to get to all of them. One more game. And by the way, just for the record, this was just the roll of the dice. This was not planned to be the final game or the final word of this segment, but it just was the roll of the dice. Indianapolis Colts and the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders come here to Lucas Oil Raceway. You know why I got Lucas Oil Raceway? Because the U.S. Nationals are in town out at Lucas Oil Raceway. Obviously we got that to do right after the show here. So, have you ever seen the drag races?
I never have.
Oh, man. It'll be on TV. Watch it, man. It is woo, crazy.
Okay.
But Lucas Oil Stadium. The Oakland Raiders come in. I tell you what, Andrew Luck shows me no sign of that sophomore slump. Reggie Wayne says he's just the vice president. They've given a lot of leadership to Andrew Luck. And really, I'm not just saying this because, oh, he replaced Peyton Manning. You know, we have this just big love affair with Andrew Luck because he's the next Peyton Manning. But no, because he really is the next Peyton Manning. And honestly, you know, when we drafted him, I was hoping, and you probably remember me saying this, I was hoping that we would get RG3. So honestly, I was not a Luck fan at the beginning. I have grown to love Andrew Luck, and I think that he is the next chapter of the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, when you look at him against RG3, durability looks like it's going to be going to favor Luck over RG3. RG3's already blown out to me. And, you know, Luck's a tough, big, tough kid who looks like he really wants to be a great NFL quarterback. And, you know, again, this is an important year for him, step two. But he's on that right track. I wonder how the defense is going to be for the Colts. That's my question, I guess. I know they drafted the kid out of, was it Bjorn Warner? Is that who they drafted number one?
Right.
So far, and you know, I saw the Colts on a preseason game on TV earlier this year, and you know, he really stuck out to me. He really, you know, looked like he was playing well. So, you know, he could help solidify that defense. And, certainly, opening the season with two home games really favors the Colts, especially with Oakland having to come in there. You never know what you're going to get with Oakland. I'm not even sure who their quarterback's going to be at this point coming in against Locke. So. You almost, when you have two home games to start the season, you really should be looking at 2-0 right out of the chute. You got to win your home games and then get a few on the road. So, the Colts should beat the Raiders, I would think, and then Miami. Like, you know, we talked about earlier, we'll see how Miami does with all that hype surrounding all the off-season transactions that they did. But, again, playing two games at home right out of the chute, that's a great thing for the Colts.
Well, we're talking with Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. We've been breaking down the last 30 minutes. NFL getting ready for the regular season, which kicks off on Thursday. Well, that's going to do it for this segment. Ed, are you going to stick around for some fantasy football talk, or do you got to go?
I don't play the fantasy football, Tom, so I'll probably jump off here.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. You got any big plans for the Labor Day?
I'll just be tonight. I'm heading down to the Eagles training facility where the general manager is having a press conference at 6:30, and they're going to talk about the cuts that they made. So I'll be working. I'll be working all weekend, actually. I'll be writing Eagles stories today, tomorrow, and then Monday. So that's my weekend.
Where can the minions find the infamous Ed Kratz stories?
PhillyBurbs.com/Eagles. And I'm on Twitter at KRACZE, at Kratzy is my Twitter handle. So.
All right, buddy. You have yourself a good holiday weekend, and I'm sure we'll be talking again much more during the regular season.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Tom. Have a great weekend.
All right, buddy. Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles from Calkins Media, columnist from down there of the city of brotherly love. Well, my name is Tom Mark Wiesel, Presidente, and we're going to take a quick break. If we get back, guys, it's time for Fantasy Football Huddle. Jerry Calhoun, our fantasy football expert, is in the wings. We'll be right back getting you ready for week one of fantasy football.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley, Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Peter, you just pooped all over the bed.
When you poop in your dreams, you poop for real.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper.
To be a lot of fun today.
Weather's been nice down here, huh?
Yeah, it has been. You know, it's
beautiful.
This is. You know, it was chilly last Sunday.
It was
chillier last Sunday, absolutely. But it's
welcome back to the final segment of the day. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente. It is time for that beloved segment of the show, our fantasy football huddle. Well, we gather together and we put the minds together and we get you ready for this week coming up in fantasy football. Most people have already had their draft tonight. 7:30 is the balanced draft, so if you're a part of that, we're going to have a great time with that. Joining me now, my colleague, also fantasy football expert. And we brand new blog, brand new entry out up on www.thebalanceonline.com. You could go and check out Jared's blog on some fantasy football. Mr. Jared, how are you doing, sir? Happy Saturday. Are you ready for the holiday?
Oh, yes. I am so ready. Got to love a three-day weekend, you know, on the cusp of the NFL kickoff. You know, life doesn't get much better, you know.
It does not. And you know what? Right after the show, we're headed out to Lucas Oil Raceway to check out some drag racing. Have you ever been out there?
I've been out there once or twice in my day. It's always a very unique experience.
Absolutely. It's a lot different. Well, I tell you what, something just as fast and a lot nitro going on in fantasy football. It is time to take a look at some of those. And we're going to kind of allude a little bit to your blog that you wrote. And you talked a little bit about some underrated drafted players, some stay away from players. And we're going to talk about some of those players that you put on your list here. And, Jared, we appreciate you contributing that to The Balance. www.thebalanceonline.com. I know Michelle's getting it ready to tweet it out as well. So that go there, read his blog, especially for those of you that maybe haven't had their draft or maybe want to look at some trades. So we're at a crucial time, Jared. You know, we've had the drafts. The trades are going on. We've had a lot of you kind of got an idea now where your team's at. What happens now? The fantasy owner, we get ready for week one. That starts Thursday. The first thing you got to do is set your lineup. So you should be trimming your fat. You should be ready to set your lineup. So it's time to really kind of start talking about, you know, start them, set them, get away from them, drop them, whatever. So we're going to kind of get into that and mix all of that in as we talk about week one, Thursday night. Get your lineup set. What's your advice as we go into week one?
Well, my advice going into week one is this is not a time to do anything drastic, but also it is a time to be aware of some things that are going on with what I would call lottery ticket players, guys that may not be, I guess you could say, they might not be hyped, but maybe they had a great camp and you need to look out for. Maybe you're trying to make that last-minute trade, which I alluded to in my blog, you know. A guy like David Wilson is a guy who's really underrated to the non-paying attention fantasy player. I'd be so willing right now if I had Arian Foster in the first round to trade him for David Wilson. I think that guy is just going to have a great year. There's no question marks. Yeah, last year he had some fumble issues going into camp. But once Andre Brown left, he got hurt last year. David Wilson was the man. He toasted even the Seahawks, you know, number one defense or whatever it was. The guy is a burner. It's one of those guys you just want to look out for. And now that Andre Brown is hurt again, man, I could not be higher on that guy.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk a little bit just real quickly, and I want to get into your list here, but we look at RG3. On Monday night football, first Monday night football game of the season against the Philadelphia Eagles. We were just talking with Ed Kratz, which is the beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, about this very game, and RG3 could cause some significant problems to some defenses out there. And really, we look at RG3 really could probably start gaining some momentum in the fantasy world.
Yeah, RG3 has the ability to put up, I would say, you know, four touchdowns, a running touchdown, 300 yards passing in this game. Sky's the limit for RG3, especially with the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, no disrespect to Mr. Kratz, but I've heard that the Eagles' defense is like Swiss cheese this year. So, which is going to be great for RG3 on Monday night, and even better for Michael Vick all year long, who's going to be, you know, a lot of quick touchdowns against the Eagles are going to result in a lot of possessions with him if he can stay upright, stay healthy, play a little bit smarter with his head. So RG3, though,
he's just not a guy I'm drafting. I didn't draft him last year, which I don't even think he would have had to have drafted him last year. I think you could pick him up off the waivers maybe. But he's not a guy I'm drafting this year. A guy off a knee surgery, mobile guy. You know, there's still a lot of chatter out there about his health. And that's not a guy that I want on my team. I like to build my teams, which have been consistent winners, on players that are consistent winners. Last couple of years, the leagues I've won have had, you know, somebody like Tom Brady at the helm, you know, taking me through the playoff time because they, you know, they have been, you know, competing for that first seed right up to the end of the year right now. So I just can't bring myself to spend a decent round pick on these guys. Now, if I can get a Michael Vick in the, you know, 10th, 11th, 12th round, I'm going to be taking that all day, but I just cannot rely on RG3 at this point in time.
Right. Well, and I agree with you, and that takes us over to your blog here, and quote a little bit from your blog. It's, this is the time of year many preseason lists become outdated with injuries and depth chart adjustments. If you're drafting this weekend, like you are, because you are a part of the balanced draft, here are some players that are guaranteed to help you win your league and some players that will sink you like an anchor. I'm interested in drafting players with a few question marks possible. So some of the names in your list here as far as underdrafted players, and so I don't want to blow all the steam out of your blog. We want people to go read that. But let's talk about a few of these. We talk about Matthew Stafford with Detroit Lions. We were just talking about the Lions and what a turnaround the Lions as a team as a whole has done. And Matt Stafford is really has the ability to lead that team in a city that really does need to have a good season. So Matt Stafford, you say his touchdowns dropped. So talk with us a little bit about why you say Matt Stafford is one of your underdrafted players.
Yeah, Matt Stafford, he's a guy that, you know, he's still really young. And I guess the thing that I would say about somebody who's really young in a system like that, I just know that offense had trouble last year. So looking at going forward, Matt Stafford's a guy that I really want to have my hands on because of the potential. So we saw maybe Matt Stafford not at his worst last year, but it wasn't his best. And it was still a very productive fantasy quarterback. Yeah, there was a couple weeks there where he would have hurt you. But this year you're not taking him where you took him last year. You're getting this guy in the 10th round or something like that, maybe 8th round, depending on the size of your draft. You know, that's the guy that I would like. You know, Matt Ryan, there's a lot of question marks about him. He's a guy going in a similar place. I think Matt Ryan's maybe 28, 29. His developmental curve is peaked out, in my opinion. So if you're looking for a guy with upside, I would be looking at a guy like Matt Stafford. He's going to play the whole year at 25. 25 years old, that's really young. When you look at comparison, you know, Brandon Whedon drafted last year, I think he's 28 already as well. So that's a guy that I'm looking at. He's not a guy that's going to be running around tearing an ACL, costing you a year. And at the draft spot of 10th, you can take a flyer on another quarterback like a Roethlisberger, you know, who a Michael Vick, one of those types of guys, to kind of really secure yourself, say, maybe Matthew Stafford, he does come out and lay an egg. You've got somebody there that you can go to as well.
Right, absolutely. Now, I want to talk about some of it because, I want people to go to the blog, www.thebalanceonline.com, and read Jared's blog. He's got some great advice for you, and hopefully we could pull a blog out of him once a week for some fantasy football, get ready for some fantasy football that we could talk about during the show each week. But you say, and you mentioned this a while ago with RG3, you're not that impressed. He's still coming back from knee surgery, so you say stay away from him. But one of the other players that kind of – I was a little like, well, shocked that you would say this. So I'm going to just let you explain why you would put Arian Foster as a stay away from player. Certainly, he's one of the top projected players in any NFL fantasy draft. Why would you stay away from him?
Well, looking at Arian Foster's career path, you know, guys love this guy. You know, undrafted out of, I think he was out of Tennessee. He came out and did great things. And what I have to correlate this guy to, you got to look back to, you know, Terrell Davis back in the day when he was in Bronco land, and they were just churning out, you know, 1,000-yard rusher after 1,500-yard rusher, just guy after guy after guy. It really didn't seem to be, you know, matter who it was. They were all really doing well. And I really feel that Arian Foster, he's a good back. But I really think that he was really a high beneficiary in the Texas offense. Look at the guy right behind him, Ben Tate. You know, when you look at the things that this guy comes in and does when Foster is out, it really, maybe they're both great. You know, look at the LaDainian Tomlinson thing. Look at, you know, when he had Michael Turner sitting on the bench behind him. They could kind of just, you know, throw those guys in and out at each other, and it was great. But I don't think that's the case here. I think it's a production system. You know, they don't throw a ton down there, and when they do, they go to Andre Johnson. But Matt Schaub is another question mark. That's not a guy that I'd want on my fantasy team unless I was doing a 16 team like our fantasy Gannett league.
That is a deep league, that's for sure.
That 16 team, that's the deepest I've ever been in. But anyways, back to Arian Foster. His yards per attempt from 2010, from the day he took that job over in Texas, has gone from 4.9 yards per attempt to 4.4 in 2011 to 4.1 in 2012, which in my opinion is below average in the league for a top 10 running back, top 20 running back. I think that's a reason. That just shows me right there. He's taken a little, you know, he's not striving for the yards like he was. He's taken a few less hits. I don't know if they're telling him to do that. And for a guy that hasn't played all preseason, man, that is just unsafe. I'll let somebody else roll the dice on that. Yeah, they might strike gold on it, but I really want the guy who's going to, I feel like, who doesn't have that question mark already going into the draft like Arian Foster does.
So, you know, one of the things that when you look at strategies each week, we talk about stardom, setems, and we're really going to have that conversation every week. We don't have a lot to go on this week. Obviously, next week we'll have a lot more to go on. But this week we kind of just got to go with what we can best put together and hope for the best, if you will. But stardom, setem is a very, very important part of your being successful in a fantasy football league. A lot of people just want to I'll just let my league go, and I don't have time to set my lineup. People put maybe a lot of time into it, which you and I do, but there are people who don't put a lot of time into it. This is a game that people can play, set their lineups early, and just kind of monitor. This isn't something that takes a lot of time, but it is something that you've got to look at each and every week. And one of the key factors in deciding on who to start and who to set may not necessarily be the matchup of, okay, who's going to win, who's going to lose as a team, but the matchup between the players. We look at matchups. That's a very key component when deciding on who to start and who to set. So, you know, looking at some good matchups and good people that I would look at starting if you have them, one of those I've got on my list to start would be Matt Ryan with the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, Matt Ryan, you know, this Saints defense, I don't have the stats right in front of me from last year, but the Saints defense yeah, they got their coach back. Yeah, it's, you know, another year stronger. But they've lost 3 to 4 good players on defense. I think Velma and Will Smith are both out for the year. They recently traded for Paris Harrelson or something like that. But the Saints defense is just bad. You know, Matt Ryan loves to play in the dome. So, you know, Julio Jones is going to be healthy. Roddy White's going to be healthy. That's the guy. That's the team right there. They got Steven Jackson in the mix now. That's going to be an explosive offense that you're going to want to take a peek at. Matt Ryan, great game there for him. I know that division is going to have improved defenses this year, but I think Matt Ryan is definitely a guy that I'd be rolling out there if I had him. You know, maybe another running back or two, another quarterback or two that I would have. I would definitely have somebody paired with Matt Ryan, you know, but he's definitely the guy that I'm going out with this year. So that's a pretty good call there. At the same time, Drew Brees, he's probably going to light up the Falcons as well on the other side of that. So that's another, you know, thing for Matt Ryan. He's going to have to throw because of how strong the Saints offense is. So it's going to be a major slugfest on points there. I wouldn't be shocked to see it 24-24 at halftime.
I totally agree with you. That's going to be a good game, and that's also going to be a good matchup. While we look at another, we're talking at stardom setups. Certainly, most of us are in a PPR league, and in those cases, most of the time, the biggest majority of your points come from your running backs. So you really want to pay attention to setting your running back, and one of the running backs going into week one, because I think the Buffalo Bills were ranked second worst at stopping the NFL last season. And I don't really believe that there's anything to change that. So you look at Stephen Riley with the New England Patriots. Got to start him this week.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy that if I have him, he's going out. Now, I'm not reaching on Stephen Ridley in any draft. You just never know what the Patriots are going to do with their running backs. They've got LeGarrette Blount there who could become a goal line back. Who knows? They've got Shane Vereen, who they can chuck it to. Gronkowski is going to be back at some point catching passes. They've got this other kid, Zach Sudfeld, among their two rookie wide receivers. You just never know what they're going to be doing. Tom likes to spread the ball around. So Ridley has the opportunity for a great game. Yes.
Jared, I want to just break in here real quickly. We just got word the Patriots have released Tim Tebow. They will keep Rob Gronkowski on their 53-man active roster. So there you guys go, Tim Tebow without a job. And we're going to get that tweet up right away. Michelle's going to handle that. It just broke. Tim Tebow released from the New England Patriots. So real quickly, we'll get back on topic, but one of the things that happened with this show, when breaking news happens, it happens, and everybody talks about Tim Tebow. It's pretty breaking news. Tim Tebow, come on, we got to find him a job. A lot of people like Tim Tebow.
Oakland.
Will he come to Indianapolis? Oakland.
He's going
to
be a Raider.
Man.
He's going to be a Raider.
Wow. Why is he a good fit at Oakland?
Oh, anybody's a good fit in Oakland, man. They've got Terrell Pryor and weak arm Matt Flynn. I think I could play quarterback in Oakland. No, I'm just kidding, but I probably couldn't. You know, but I definitely think that they're struggling. The Jets aren't going to bring him back, obviously. Who knows? Maybe they will. But Oakland is a place that's really struggling for a quarterback. I know Pryor's looked awful. They basically tried to give him the job because he can actually throw the ball. And then Matt Flynn, he lost it. He had the job and lost it, during preseason, created doubt. Hey, why not take a chance on Tebow out there?
Right. I'm just amazed that I kind of thought, and we just were just talking about this in the show earlier today, that he would keep his job with New England. So let me ask you this. Maybe it's not a big surprise. Maybe a lot of people are like, yeah, I'm not really shocked about this. But why do you think that they just now released him today? Do you think they did that to kind of allude to the world? Bill Belichick, I would absolutely hate to play a game of poker with him. He has the best poker face in the world, and he does that with his injuries list. And you got to hang now? Put him on the injury list. You know, he does every little angle that he can do to give the New England Patriots the best advantage as he can. Was there a strategy in this? Do you think that a long time ago they thought they were going to release Tim Tebow?
I doubt it. I think they were trying whoever they could try for whatever they could try. You got to look at their receiver situation. You know, Rob Gronkowski was down. They drafted two rookies. They love to use running backs in weird situations. So Tim is a great athlete. And, they like to use some trickery up there in New England. So maybe they were going to do some of those run, throw, flea flicker, hook and ladder type things. But, who knows what they were going to do? I know that Robert Kraft is a great guy, and he's the type of owner that would love to have someone with Tebow's character on his team. So I think they,
I think that, you know, in this situation, Tim Tebow just became a roster victim. I also see the corresponding move that they made was that the Patriots made is they're going to keep Rob Gronkowski on the active roster to open the season. So that's probably just what happened there. They were saying, hey, we're going to use Tim Tebow as a potential, you know, as a high IQ player. They were going to use him as a blocker, a tight end, and he just got the axe here because Rob Gronkowski was ready to go.
I wish we had time to break that. Maybe we'll talk about it next week. We'll have a clearer picture. But maybe that might be a good move for him in Oakland. Well, Jared Calhoun, colleague, fantasy football expert, we're at the last part of our show for today. It's time to jump into the jungle. I'm going to give you about 30 seconds to rant about whatever you want to rant. Go ahead and jump into the jungle there, Jared. Are you there?
I'm here. Oh man, you know one of the things that
Go ahead.
One of the things I'm upset about here in the NFL is these stinking guaranteed contracts to rookies. I just read that Aaron Curry, you know, first round draft pick out of Wake Forest, got $34 million, and the guy ended up getting traded for a seventh round pick and cut. And he said, "I lost motivation. This is ridiculous. $34 million down the drain. We got to do something about these guaranteed contracts. It's ridiculous."
It's ridiculous. All right, Jared, we've got your blog up on www.thebalanceonline.com. Where can people follow you on Twitter, Facebook, wherever?
Yep, you can catch me on Twitter, JK Calhoun, Calhoun.
All right, Jared, we'll talk to you next week. You have yourself a good and safe holiday weekend.
Thanks so much. You too, Tom.
All right. Jared Calhoun, Fantasy Football Huddle, guys. Well, that's going to do it. I got my little rant, guys. I'm going to tell you what. Get out there and get your football tickets. Get out there and support your team. Most importantly, guys, get out to the Lucas Oil Raceway out in Prestonburg, Indiana. You will not be disappointed. Guys, it's Labor Day weekend. In all seriousness, have fun out there. Don't drink and drive. You hear me say it every single week. Don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. We just saw a fatality here in Indianapolis revolving around alcoholism. We've seen it just destroy people's lives. Don't drink and drive. It is not cool. Well, guys, that's going to do it. I hope that you guys are had a great time with us. We appreciate all of our guys up at Indiana Talks. Go there now, www.indianatalks.com. They'll be running us from 3 to 5 p.m. tonight. Happy Labor Day weekend, everyone. I'm going to tell you what, it has been fantastic. Every week this show gets better and better. And if you're not a part of it, if you're not a minion, it's real easy to do. Just go to Facebook and go right there at www.facebook.com to search the Facebook or online, www.thebalanceonline.com. Sorry about that. All right, guys, or follow us on Twitter, T Balance. My name is Saul Marquis. I am out of here. Peace.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.